Well, we made it through another week. We're getting ready to start another week. A lot of things have happened to us in the last 7 days since we saw each other. Many of us have said many prayers to the Lord, asking Him to provide us deliverance from whatever adversity, and hopefully thanking Him for some of His faithfulness to us. Yesterday, I drove a bus trip for Clarion University, a track team to Edinburgh University up near Erie. And I told them when they asked me if I would take that trip on Wednesday, I said, well, you're sending me right into the heart of the snowstorm and the ice, right? I said a lot of prayers Saturday morning going across the 80 up over that mountain. And then I decided in my own infinite wisdom, notice I noted that it's all my fault, but I decided to go 322 over through Phillipsburg on the way back home. And that was an enjoyable experience traveling behind the tractor trailer. So God delivered me through a lot of things this week, not the least of which was safe travels yesterday with ice and snow and everything else. Thought it was supposed to be rain, right? Isn't that what they were calling for?
Yep.
Anyway, what little do we know. Today we're going to be looking at Psalm 105. Particularly, I want us to look at verses 42 through 45. We're going to read that together in just a few minutes. But this psalm, Psalm 105, begins with David giving to Asaph and the temple choir a psalm on the day that he moves the Ark of God to the city of Jerusalem. That's the background for this entire psalm. What he writes it for. In verses 1 through 5, that's what he's talking about. He then moves and he looks in the section that we're going to be looking at in verses 6 through 45. The entire rest of that psalm is looked at in giving thanks for God's faithfulness. It's historical proof that God was faithful to his covenant promises with Israel. There's a lot to be said about our ties and where how Israel goes, so goes the rest of the world. And they are the elect. They were the ones that God gave his covenant to. They were the original God's people. And so as we examine those two sections, again, we're not going to be looking at verses 1 through 5 today, or even most of verses 6 through 45. But we need to be reminded and understand the great relevance that the people of Israel have for us, and the promises that God made to Israel have for us. And through that, we need to be reminded of the duties that are required of God's people, and also to understand the incentives for performing those duties. As we read Psalm 105, verses 42 through 45. The Bible reads, "For he remembered his holy promise given to his servant Abraham. He brought out his people with rejoicing, his chosen ones with shouts of joy. He gave them the lands of the nations, and they fell heir to what others had toiled for, that they might keep his precepts and observe his laws. Praise the Lord." One of the great things that my grandfather made sure that I understood, and my grandmother, was that we were warming ourselves by fires not built by us. And if you think about that, about everything that we have in our life today, this church building, for instance, some of you were here when it was built, and renovated, but the original building that was here back in 1871, I don't think any of you are quite that old yet. We worship God in a place that was built by hands of others who came before us, who toiled before us. The Israelites also received a much greater benefit than having a warm place on a cold January Sunday to praise Him. They received the benefit of God's covenant. They received the land that was promised to their ancestors. God established His covenant with their father Abraham. He confirmed it with Isaac and Jacob. Included in this covenant was the promise of the land of Canaan. And at the time this promise was given, their forefathers were very few in number. And there was no way that they could have overcome the great multitude of warriors that occupied that land on their own. The fulfillment of such a promise seemed very unlikely, highly unlikely, and caused doubt amongst many believers, much like what we face today. Our nation is in crisis. Christianity is not anything anybody wants to do anymore, right? You try to talk about God, you get shut down in most public places. It's one of those things that you used to whisper about sex and drugs and all those other things in the restaurant. You were whispering when you talked. Now we whisper about God. And you hear all kinds of stories about the other things. Much like what the Israelites had when they didn't believe that God could deliver them the land of Canaan. They didn't believe that God would be faithful. The fulfillment of that promise was very unlikely. But David and his readers were dwelling in the very land that was promised to Abraham. And so as he writes this song to be sung, and as he details all the great benefits that they enjoyed, he wants them to remember that at one time they doubted. At one time there was a place that they were promised that they didn't think that they would ever occupy, and they were sitting in that very place. For this promise to be fulfilled, God had to protect their forefathers. And so verses 13 and 15 and 16 through 24 of this psalm lead us through the protection that God provided. Also, the book of Genesis, the entire book of Genesis talks to us about the protection that God gave. It was God who sent their fathers into Egypt, and under the care of Joseph, they flourished there and grew into a great nation. What if they hadn't went to Egypt? What if he hadn't been kidnapped? What if all kinds of what ifs? But the fact of the matter is that we're here today because those things happened. The Israelites were sitting in Canaan because that happened. When God determined the time was right for His people to come out of Egypt, He first moved the Egyptians to enslave them. And then He raised Moses up to deliver them. Think about it in your life. What has had to happen in your life in order to get you to steer into the Lord's plan? What have you allowed to happen that's been contrary to God's plan that you've had to correct for? In the wilderness, as they wandered after Moses delivered them from the Egyptians, God cared for them. He covered them with a cloud. He provided both food and water for them in the middle of the desert. You remember those stories? Do they seem so far-fetched? Do they seem like that they can't possibly be true? Because I read a lot of fairy tales. I read a lot of fiction. Sometimes I like Tom Clancy novels. Probably one of my favorite authors. That's not what this is. This is a biographical demonstration of God's promises. And finally, in verse 44 of this psalm, David recounts them being given the land that God had promised. Now, one of the things we need to remember as we think about this is, did the Israelite people deserve God's favor? Because a lot of times we sit back, I know I have, I've sat back and said, I don't deserve your love. I don't deserve the favor that you've put on my life. I don't deserve the benefit that I have. I deserve all the bad things, right? Satan convinces us sometimes that that's what we deserve. We deserve all the trouble, all the sickness, all the challenges. But when something good happens to us, it's hard for us to accept it. Because we don't deserve it. The Israelites didn't deserve it either. That same book of Exodus and the same book talks about what? How many times they turned away from the will of God. That's in there too. But God still remained faithful. So does it in our life matter how good we are? Well, that's a double-edged question, isn't it? Because yes, it does matter. Our testimony, our witness to our community means a lot to whether people are going to be attracted to come to God. And so, if we go out and we just act like every other person in our community, God's witness is not as strong, is it? But what you need to remember is that no matter what you do, you can't earn your way into God's kingdom. You can't earn your way to God's favor. You don't deserve, by your actions, anything God provides. But He gave it to you anyway. In a few months, we're going to be celebrating Easter. We're going to celebrate the fact that God came to earth as a human being. He lived with us. That He chose to put Himself and allow Himself to be crucified and die. And He overcame death as He rose again 3 days later. Some people will think that that's a very silly thing for folks to, for a whole population of the world to celebrate the killing of someone, right? Which is not really what we're celebrating. Easter is about what? The resurrection. Because it symbolized that God was able to overcome and defeat every single weapon that Satan has. Even death. Even death cannot defeat God. All this was carried out not because the people were deserving, but rather because God wanted a people of His own to testify to His truth by observing His laws and keeping His laws. That's what verse 45 is all about. That's why I told you it was a double-edged question whether or not it mattered whether we did the best we could for God. Are you ever going to be good enough in your own mind? Think back, and again, we sing songs about it, but you know, Moses was a warrior. He didn't think he was good enough. Joshua, we talked about him a couple weeks ago. He wasn't good enough. David wasn't good enough. But from his line, because of the promise of God, from his line, we have God using his family to bring Jesus into the world. Why is that? Why does God allow that to happen? What should we be encouraged about? Why should we be encouraged? God remembers his promises. He remembered the holy promise that he made to Abraham. And this whole Psalm 105 is more than just a tour of history. It is a tour of our history. How many of you have done anything on Ancestry.com? Anybody ever tried to look up any of your family? Is it interesting? Do you see, you know, there's just things about your family that you didn't know that have, you know, there are a lot of picture albums and things that my grandmother had. I don't even know who these people are. There were people she didn't know who they were. But this is our history that we're reading in Psalms. The same God who fulfilled his promise to Abraham can be counted on to fulfill the promises he has made to his people today. When you accepted him as your Lord and Savior and you promised that you would serve him, he made a promise to you, didn't he? That he would bring you home. That he would grant you eternal life. If only you would do what? Believe, confess with your lips that he is Lord, and live your life to follow him. He promised you. He also promised us while he was here that we read in the New Testament that trouble was going to come, that he would provide us what to get through that trouble? The strength and the courage. Every day I pray multiple times a day for the strength and courage to live my life in a way that is pleasing to God. Because I can't do it on my own. You can't do it on your own. He promised us. He promised us. You and me. And we are also children of Abraham. Did you ever sing that song in Sunday school? Where's my singers at? I can't. Father Abraham had many sons and daughters. Many sons had Father Abraham.
I don't know.
Okay, we're going to have nursery rhyme class. Because I can't remember it either. But the same God who fulfilled his promise to Abraham can be counted on to fulfill his promises to us too today. Included in those promises are something far greater than an earthly land. He promised the Israelites the land of Canaan. He promised us that we would dwell with God in heaven. Again, there are many, many people who sit and say, that's impossible. That can't happen. Just like they did when he promised them the land of Canaan. He promised us that all of God's people will stand together with God. That we will be with him in heaven and land. That's what the whole book of Revelation, chapter 21 and 22 in particular, are about. That's his promise to us. We are no more deserving of the land to dwell with God than the people of Israel were to dwell in the land of Canaan. They were an insignificant minority when that promise was made. We're not insignificant, I don't think, in the statistical world, but we're certainly much smaller than we were 50 years ago, aren't we? In America. But you know what God does? God grows his people are strong in other places like Africa. That's probably the stronghold right now in the world for Christianity. In Africa and in South America. And so while we wane here in the United States, there are other places that Christianity is flourishing. Through great adversity. Much like it did when we came here from England. It is through this matchless grace of God, grace that was channeled to us through Jesus Christ, grace that came to us through the cross, that God that David is writing about, the same God that you and I serve, deserves great praise. And so, as David said in verse 45, praise the Lord, you know? Do you ever just sit there and do you ever say that out loud? Praise the Lord. Say it with me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He deserves it. He deserves it. He is worthy. He is a gracious God. He allows us to experience Him, to feel and understand His care for us. Look back over your own history. Where do you draw encouragement? I've told you this story many times, but every morning when I wake up, the first thing I do is wiggle my toes. Try really hard. And I give God praise at that moment that He chose to heal me. Because at one time, I couldn't do that. And that was a long time ago, and I know that, you know, perhaps some think, well, you should just let that go. But that is the touchstone for me, to remember God's saving grace in my life. I had to experience what I went through with that so that I would appreciate more in my own mind and in my own body to be able to touch and understand the reality of the power of God. You have something in your life that is a touchstone for you. There's something in your life that you can, just the thought of it brings you closer to God. Maybe it's the birth of your child. Maybe it was your first time that you met your husband or your wife. I don't know what it is. For each person, it's different. But there's something that can bring you back to that moment that you knew that God loved you. You knew beyond a doubt. There was no circumstance in the world, once you experienced that, that you could ever be shook from the idea that God loved you. You didn't deserve it, but God loved you. Our own history. There have been other things that have happened in my life. You can think back on those things that have happened in your life that remind you of the power, that bring to your life the stories that you've read in the Bible. That manna from heaven, the canopy of God walking over the people of Israel as they walked through the wilderness. Have you ever felt that in your life? There were times in my life I didn't know where my next meal was coming from. There were times in my life that our electric got shut off and we didn't have some of the niceties that I take for granted today. But God provided them. I don't remember, and I'll share this story, both my mom and my stepdad have both passed away, so I can share this with no embarrassment to them. But there was a time that we didn't have a vehicle to get around. We had no car. My stepdad was working at a job making $3 an hour, raising 5 kids, taking care of my elderly grandmother and him and my mom. Had no vehicle, no way that they could save. They didn't have credit to go to the bank. They didn't have a job good enough to make a payment, to go even buy any type of car. And I remember us all sitting around the kitchen table, praying that God would have some way to provide my dad a way to get back and forth to that $3 an hour job. Because if we lost that, we would have nothing in our mind, right? And I remember my grandma calling us all together. We sat down around that wooden table that my dad built, and we all joined hands and we prayed. And we prayed. I don't believe I really even believed it at that moment. Dear God, please allow us to find a way to get Dad to work. And I want to share with you guys that within an hour, before we even all got up from the table, a station wagon drove up our driveway. An old station wagon. from a man in our church who said he had been at home, he had just bought himself a new pickup truck. He didn't need, you know, one of those old type of station wagons that had the rear-facing seat, you know what I'm talking about? He drove it up in there and he handed my dad the keys and he said, "Tom," he said, "I know you and I haven't always seen eye to eye," because my dad was sort of cantankerous. But he said, I was just at home and I was trying to decide what I was going to do with this car. And just got laid on my mind that you might need one." And my dad hadn't shared with anybody at the church that his truck broke down, there was no way to fix it, that we didn't have the money to fix it or to buy a new car. But God provided. And my dad made it to work, and we continued. There are things in your life that God has provided when you have prayed to try to teach you to understand that He will be faithful to you. Something. But we shouldn't need that. We've got a whole book that tells us all kinds of promises where He's been faithful to people. But we need, you know, some of us are hard-headed, right? Or I'll just take it, I'm hard-headed. And I guess I had to face those things so that I could understand His power in a real way. Our God is worthy of praise, folks. Our God is worthy of praise. These verses, as you read this entire psalm, you need to understand the encouragement that comes from it. I don't know about you, but I need encouragement. How about you? Sometimes I get discouraged in this life. There's a lot of things that go on, a lot of troubles that seem to get heaped on in our own personal lives and then those that we love and that we care about. But if you read this, if you read Psalm 105, if you read the Bible, you see His faithfulness, don't you? You can't miss it. You can't miss it. Praise be to the Lord. He is just as faithful in our lives today as He was to the people from Israel. The encouragement that we all need is based on an unchanging God. He's the same God, again, you've said this before, He's the same God yesterday, the same God today, and He'll be the same God when? That's right. If you believe that, that should provide us with some encouragement. Because our faith is built on the character and will of God, not us. Our faith and what we believe in is based upon Him and His faithfulness. And He has never, listen carefully, He has never failed. Ever. Anybody else can raise their hand and say they've never failed? Anybody? Never failed. Never failed. Never been a few days late on a credit card payment. Never not made a payment. Never not been able to fulfill a promise that you made to somebody that you really desperately wanted to be able to fulfill. God has never failed. Think about that. Never failed. As we stand and sing our invitation hymn in the garden, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, if you don't know who it is that I'm talking about, if you don't understand how powerful His promise to save you is, come forward and I'm going to pray with you. If you have already accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, but maybe you just have going through some struggles in your life, maybe there's some things going on right now that you need prayer for, come forward and I'll pray with you as we stand and sing In the Garden, hymn number 635. Thank you.
He speaks.